Hey, folks, thanks for tuning back in to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. It is time for the Weekend Picks panel for Week 6. This is really one of the first weeks where we've had a lot of really good top 25 games, multiple games in the top 15, top 20. Conference play is really getting started. And this is also going to be a first because you will not be hearing segments from each individual panelists. You will actually be hearing us all together here in this one wonderful internet-made podcasting world. So first, the man to my internet left is the birthday boy. So Mr. Tom Fornelli, thank you so much for returning to the podcast.
Why, thank you for having me, sir, as he looks to his internet right.
and on my other side is the other weekly panelist, is Mr. Jerry Hinnan and Chinlay. Jerry, are you still leading picks right now?
No, I am not. I did not have a good week last week at all. I feel like an idiot a little bit coming on these podcasts, Chip, because the last two, maybe 3 weeks, I've talked about how underdogs have basically been ruling the spread picks in the top 25 all season, and how as a group we need to do a better job of not just picking favorites. And then I went out last week and just picked a bunch of favorites and got housed. Dennis Dodd blew me out of the water, and I'm now looking at a substantial deficit in the spread expert picking section. So just, you know, nothing to do but put it behind me, take it one week at a time, and try to make up some ground this week.
That's some great coach speak from Jerry Hinnan when it comes to his team's expert picks. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into these Week 6 picks. I will sort of each game, I've split them up. I will pitch them either to Tom or Jerry to lead, and the other one will get a chance to respond. And so we're going to start with Georgia, South Carolina, number 5 Georgia at number 6 South Carolina. We've talked about this game a whole lot as far as what it means for the SEC East, especially for South Carolina, who still has a much tougher schedule to go. Currently, the Gamecocks are 2.5-point favorites, or they were when we picked it. Jerry, would you still pick it at 2.5? What's your pick, and how do you see it playing out?
Well, I think this is one of those cases where what you emphasize more when you're making a pick like this, is it what you felt at the beginning of the season when the consensus seemed to be that Georgia was the superior team, you know, that their defense was a little bit better, you know, that maybe they had a little bit more offensive firepower over what we've seen so far this season, which is that Georgia's defense is not really as airtight as expected, especially on the ground. I was really surprised to see Tennessee run the ball as well as they did last week. And South Carolina, on the other hand, has been very explosive, particularly at home. Connor Shaw has looked great. Marcus Lattimore has been his usual self. So if you're basing your pick, I think, on what we've seen so far this season, I think you have to roll with South Carolina. If you want to go back and say, no, I'm not going to change my mind, I think Georgia's still the better team on paper, and that's what counts, then you go with Georgia. I don't think it being in South Carolina matters a whole lot. Mark Richt has an outstanding road record. It's just going to be about which is really the better team. And me, I'm for at least one more week, I'm sticking with my preseason instincts. I had Georgia winning the SEC East at that point, and I don't think they can do it if they don't get through Carolina this week. So got to stick with that. I'm taking Georgia, you know, to cover the 2.5 to win the game outright and get a big leg up in the SEC East race.
Yeah, no, it would certainly be a huge leg up. Tom, are you sticking with your expert picks from the site? By the way, yeah, CBSSports.com expert picks has my picks, Jerry's picks, Tom picks, all there, and you can comment on them and tell us how smart you think we are. Tom, you picked South Carolina. Are you sticking with that right now?
Yeah, I tend to disagree with Jerry. I know Jerry said he's just picking Georgia because he's sticking with his picks, but I mean, after seeing Georgia's defense last week at home against Tennessee, that offense is very good, but it's facing a much better defense this week and on the road. And plus, Spurrier just historically does very well against the spread. His teams do very well against the spread. South Carolina's 3-1 against the spread this year. I'm just going with the Gamecocks following that trend.
Yeah, I picked the Gamecocks too, but it was actually subscribing to Jerry's first theory that right there, which is you look at what we saw last week, you know, especially from each team, and then apply it forward. But I still think that this is going to be one of the most telling games for both teams, and it's one of the games that I'm looking forward to the most as far as you know, what it's going to mean for the whole SEC race. We also we've got Florida, who has become a contender in that SEC East race. They are going to be hosting LSU. LSU coming off that 38-22 sort of sleepwalk through the beginning win over Towson. It's a it's Florida plus 2.5, and so I will also start this one off with Jerry as the on the SEC beat. What's your read on this game, and do you like 2.5?
I do, actually. I've got the Gators. To me, these are two teams kind of going the opposite direction on the escalators, kind of passing each other. Florida, that A&M victory at Kyle Field looks better every single week. The Aggies have just been dominant ever since then. The win over Tennessee at Tennessee looks a little bit better after the Vols gave Georgia a scare. You know, so I think Florida is legit. I really actually like their offense. I think Jeff Driskel's playing really well, really efficiently, and they've got Mike Gillisley, obviously, as the anchor. Now that they actually have an offense coordinator who recognizes that Gillisley can get the job done. So they're kind of on the way up. And LSU, you know, you don't always want to read too much into one of these FCS games, but you know, I feel like it's one thing to struggle with a team like Towson for two quarters. It's another to do it for three, even like 3.5 the way LSU did. It's something I could not believe they got outrushed by Towson last week. You know, I think it was 188-158 in total yards and 4.7-4.5 average per carry. To me, those are some big alarm bells for a team that has to run the ball and has to be able to shut down the run to succeed. So I'm going with Florida. I think they've got the more balanced offense. I think they're playing better. They're at home. I've got the Gators.
Tom?
Yeah, I agree with Jerry for two reasons. First of all, everything he said is 100% right. Second of all, he took a shot at Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
But also, it's just in a rivalry game like this, when the home team is the one getting points, I mean, I think that's just the way you should lean in general. And plus, like Jerry said, Florida's just playing better right now. They're 3-0 against the spread against SEC opponents already this season. And that Texas A&M win is only looking more and more impressive when you see Texas A&M play every week. So I'm definitely leaning with Florida this week.
Yeah, I also went Florida. And I'm going to say that from the Texas A&M game, that's also the in-game adjustments that Florida made, especially on defense, and just the knowing that that team can be able to turn it around. Jelani Jenkins is back. I'm with you guys. I like the Gators. All right, we're going to hop over to the Big 12. And so, Tom, we saw what West Virginia was able to do against Baylor. We saw Texas in possibly an asterisk win for Texas, but Texas will be hosting West Virginia, and Texas is a 7.5-point favorite. Where are you leaning and looking at in trying to pick this game, Tom?
I'm leaning towards Texas to win, but I have West Virginia covering for no other reason really that the Texas defense this year is really not – it's. When people say Texas has a good defense, I think it's based more on reputation in 2012 than in actual performance, because they got taken up and down the field quite a bit by Oklahoma State last week. And I know Oklahoma State's a good offense, but it's still not the same offense as last year that had Brandon Weeden and Justin Blackman. There's a lot of youth and inexperience on that offense. And their secondary is not great. And I see Geno Smith and the West Virginia wide receivers being able to take advantage of that. Though I do think that Texas's offense is light years better this year than it has been the last few. I think David Ash is easily the best quarterback the Longhorns have had since Colt McCoy. And against that West Virginia defense, I don't see the Longhorns having any problem putting up 45-50 points.
Jerry, you're picking Texas to cover the 7.5, aren't you?
I am. The only one of our six or seven experts who's doing that. I just think West Virginia, to me, just for all the world, looks like a team that's overrated, that's not ready to go on the road and win a game like this. Their defense is atrocious. If you give up, you know, 60-plus points to Baylor at home, then, as Tom said, you are cruising for giving up 50 to 60 in Austin as well. And to me, the offense is always the part that doesn't travel as well. You know, it's one thing to put together a performance like we saw from Geno Smith and company on your home turf against a Baylor defense that is absolutely abysmal on the road. It's something completely different to go and do that against a talented, if underperforming at the moment, defense like Texas's in Austin. I think Texas wins this going away 52-35, 55-30, somewhere along those lines.
Well, it is. There is something to be said. This is their first Big 12 road game, and it's in a, you know, obviously going down there, Memorial Stadium. That's there'll be 100,000 people cheering against them. And another game definitely to look forward to. I've got Texas winning as well, but just I like West Virginia's ability to any team that can score fast. It's always tough to think that they're going to get beat by more than a touchdown. All right, Tom,
You know what? This is one of those games where the backdoor cover, I think, is going to come into play. I just have a feeling that West Virginia is going to score one of those touchdowns because Holgerson's not going to call off the Dogs even if they're down 14 in the last minute. He's going to want to run down the field and score. So I feel a backdoor cover coming.
Maybe like a 10 or 13 point game, maybe, and then one last touchdown, like as time expires, so that they cover.
Yeah, within like the last 15 seconds, there's an Austin touchdown to just make it look a little better. I just had that gut feeling as you're sitting here talking. I just had visions of it in my mind.
You know who else envisions it? Dana Holgerson's casino ticket. All right, let's go over to the Big Ten. This is Tom. Tell me, I'll let you pick first. We're going to do Nebraska, Ohio State. We're going to do Northwestern, Penn State. Which game is more intriguing to you? Because one has the battle of top 25 teams, but with Penn State on the rise, they've covered I think 3 spreads in a row, 4-1 against the spread maybe, and Northwestern, of course, being ranked for the first time in 2008. I would argue they're equally as intriguing. So on the Big Ten beat, what looks like a more interesting game to you?
I'm actually more interested in the Northwestern-Penn State game just because Northwestern has looked, you know, very good on offense this year. Its defense has been a little, you know, questionable for most part. But I don't know if this team's for real yet, and I think if they went into Happy Valley and beat this Penn State team on the road, I think that would be a very good indicator that, you know, this Northwestern team might really contend for a Big Ten title this year because Penn State got off to a terrible start with that loss to Ohio, and then they lost to Virginia in the second week, but that was because of a lot of missed field goals. But since that third week, this Penn State team has actually looked pretty good, particularly on offense and especially on defense. So if Northwestern can pull this one out, I think that would be a huge sign. And I'm actually taking Northwestern to cover because Northwestern is 5-0 versus the spread this year, one of only a few teams who have done that.
Jerry, what's your read on this game?
I've got Penn State, both straight up and to cover. You know, going back to what Tom said, I've been really impressed with the way Penn State's played the last few years, really since the Ohio debacle when they just kind of broke down on defense there in the second half. Penn State's played very good football. You know, I thought going into Illinois and beating the Illini the way they did was really impressive. You know, Illinois doesn't seem like they're really all on the same page yet under Tim Beckman, but that's still a pretty talented team. You know, certainly I don't think anyone would say after all the defections that Penn State had some big talent advantage over the Illini last week. So to go on the road and beat them the way they did, I think was pretty impressive. Pat Fitzgerald does have a knack for winning these kinds of games where you go on the road and you're an underdog and you're playing maybe a team with a little more talent than you do. But just the way Penn State's playing right now, I think they've got a little bit of that chip on their shoulder and playing at home in front of their, you know, the fans who've stuck around. I think they're going to be pretty fired up. And I think Northwestern's maybe a little bit overrated at this point. Some of these games, you know, they haven't really dominated the way I think a Big Ten challenger would. So we'll see. It's, like Tom said, it's a really interesting game.
All right, Tom, one more. I think this is the last Big Ten game on the slate. Got number 21, Nebraska, traveling to the Horseshoe to play number 12, Ohio State. The Buckeyes, fresh off that 17-16. You know, I was impressed. We said this is going to be a race to 14, right? And the winning score was 17-16. Went about the way we predicted. Ohio State is a 4.5-point favorite over the Cornhuskers. And so what's your pick and what's your read on the game?
I think that for the Big Ten's reputation, it would be very nice if Nebraska could go into Columbus and win this game, since Nebraska actually can go to the Rose Bowl this year. So it would be nice for a team that's not Ohio State to step up and look like the best team in the conference. Unfortunately, I can't get past how Nebraska's defense looked on the road against UCLA with a quarterback who can not only throw the ball pretty well, but it's very much a big, strong runner like Hundley was. And that's exactly what Ohio State has in Braxton Miller. And because of that, until Nebraska proves to me it can stop a quarterback like that, I'm not picking it to go on the road and get the win. I'm taking Ohio State both to win and cover.
Crap, I forgot about that game. Jerry, Jerry, what's your pick on this game, and how do you see it playing out?
I've got Ohio State to win this game with ease. I think they cover without any kind of problems. Again, going back to the same kind of thing with West Virginia, where their defense going on the road is going to, you know, continue to be their defense, whereas the offense isn't going to come on the travels. I think Ohio State and Miller just go nuts on that Nebraska defense. They're not ready to play at the horseshoe, and Martinez has one of his kind of typical up and down games that he tends to have on the road. You know, beating Wisconsin by 3 points at home these days does not impress me. Certainly not the way that going into East Lansing and beating that Michigan State team does. I think Ohio State rolls.
Yeah, I'm really wishing I picked Ohio State now. But, you know, whatever. Hindsight is 20/20. You mentioned UCLA, so let's go ahead and jump into a slate of Pac-12 games. So, Jerry, UCLA, only a 2.5-point favorite playing at Cal. Do you think that that is people being down on UCLA? I think that seems a little low. Or do you think that from Cal, what they've been able to do at times, especially with when they play Bigelow and what they're able to do at Ohio State, that's keeping the line down at 2.5?
Well, that, and I think people just probably don't trust UCLA quite yet. I think we still don't know exactly what Jim Moore is going to do on the road against a quality program. They blew out Colorado last week, but so could an awful lot of teams out there. And, you know, again, it's a big difference between being at home and going on the road. And they did lose at home to Oregon State not too long ago, so this certainly isn't an invincible Bruins team. And now they got to face a Cal team that I took straight up, actually, to pull the upset and to cover, obviously, because I think Cal is just due for another good performance. They had one against Ohio State, but it was on the road, couldn't quite pull it out. I think they're due again. This is not an untalented team. Jeff Tedford obviously is struggling at the moment, but is not an untalented coach. He's won games like this plenty of times before. I think this is the week when Cal gets off the deck, you know, shows UCLA a little bit that it's not maybe all that easy to win in the Pac-12 as Colorado made it seem.
Tom, what you got on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting there looking at this one for a while, trying to figure it out before I eventually just went with UCLA. I think in the end, the ultimate reason for my decision was just I really like Brett Hundley. So, I mean, Cal, Brendan Bigelow is awesome, but what's insane is since he made those huge runs against Ohio State, they haven't given him the ball.
I know.
Tedford's not putting him out there, and I don't understand it. And it's just, I don't know if it's, you know, I think it's just a combination of me really enjoying Hundley and not enjoying Jeff Tedford, which is why I'm taking UCLA to win and cover.
Yeah, no, I have no idea, because as soon as Bigelow sort of got freed, that was like Chris Houston when we were sitting in our campfire chatting about all the games as they're happening. It was as if, you know, something that he had been just begging for a while, and he'd finally been let loose, and then as soon as that game's over, he just disappeared into thin air again. It was crazy. We, Jerry, want to ask you first while we stay in the Pac-12. Washington State at number 14, Oregon State. The Beavers are 14.5-point favorites after just a really exciting win and an up-and-down game last week on the road against Arizona. Now they're back at home, and Washington State, which gave Oregon a game for a little bit before the Ducks started, you know, pulling away late. How do you see this one playing out? I think that I've got Oregon State winning this game, but I think trying to pick at 14.5 is really, really difficult, particularly when you look at both these teams.
I don't think it's all that difficult. I think you have to take the Beavers. You know, to me, as long as the Beavers show up and played the way that they've played the last 3 weeks, and they've beaten Wisconsin, they've beaten Arizona, they've beaten UCLA, then they're going to cover this spread. Washington State, to me, still hasn't shown much of anything. You look at their body work, blown out at BYU, narrowly escape Eastern Washington at home, lose to Colorado, which, oh my, they lost to Colorado. And then, you know, okay, so they hang around with Oregon for a half, but that's at home. You know, they're kind of charged up, they're fired up. And even that, I think Oregon had a huge yardage advantage at the half, and the game was only 4 points, you know, kind of via some turnovers and wacky stuff. You know, and then they got the very sort of backdoor cover at the end after it was 51-19. So I'm not impressed with Washington State at all. I don't think they're going to play very well on the road in particular. Oh, in there they also didn't struggle with UNLV for three quarters. So, you know, they haven't looked good on the road. They haven't really looked good anywhere other than that first half against Oregon. As long as Oregon State comes to play, they cover.
Tom, what you got?
Yeah, I have to agree with Jerry. I haven't been impressed with Washington State at all. And they did play well for that half against Oregon last week, but that was also in Washington. I know it's technically a neutral site game, but that was Washington, not Oregon. And this week on the road in Corvallis, I mean, with Oregon State's already been tested three times this year and it's come through. And unless there's just a letdown performance, and I don't think Oregon State's good enough to have a letdown performance, if you get what I'm saying. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty easy for the Beavers. And plus, against the spread, Washington State is 1-4 so far this year. So, that, I mean, and Oregon State is one of only those three teams that's still undefeated. So that even though they've only played three games, they're 3-0 against the spread, including 1-0 at home and 2-0 on the road. So I think the Beavers win this one. I think they win it pretty easily, too.
Yeah, for the record, I did pick Oregon State to cover as well. I just struggled a little bit more with it. Maybe I just, you know, I was actually giving some credit to Washington State's defense for at least being able to come out and you know, do a couple things, not make life a little difficult. But, you know, as I'm sort of wrapping my mind back around it now, that might have just been the – yeah, what?
I was just going to say, this is the same defense that gave up, I think, 21 points in the fourth quarter to Colorado and looked awful against BYU. Don't give Washington State's defense any credit.
Yeah, don't be blinded by the leech.
I can't help it. I was just a little bit. Maybe it must have been the alternate uniforms. I'm just a kid, you know. I'm just a recruit. Actually, when colleges are doing alternate uniforms, they're aiming at recruits and young college football bloggers for CBSSports.com. We're easily influenced. All right, let's go to let's keep it in the Pac-12. Tom, gonna get you to lead off on this one. Stanford, 11.5-point favorites at home. Arizona coming to town. We mentioned Arizona's game against Oregon State. Stanford really needs a bounce back. David Shaw came out and had to answer questions about Josh Nunez as the starting quarterback. He said he is the starter. A little surprising to me that it's being questioned so much after one game. Do you see Nunez bouncing back first? And then also, how do you see the game playing out?
You know, I think you guys would both agree with me that after the first few weeks of the season, you know, I was just very impressed with Stanford. And to see how they looked coming out against Washington on Thursday last week was just that just was not what I was expecting at all. I mean, the fact that Washington won didn't shock me. It's just how bad Stanford did look. And I agree. I think it's a little too early to question Nunez only after one game. But I don't think it's too early to start questioning how good Stanford actually is compared to how it just started. So I'm going with Arizona in this game to cover that spread. I mean, 11.5 is a lot of points, particularly in the Pac-12 and with an Arizona offense that's played pretty well. I think Stanford's going to win. Don't get me wrong. At home in Palo Alto, I don't think the Wildcats are coming in to win that game. But I think it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jerry, what do you think?
I'm in the same position. Stanford to win, but Arizona to cover. You know, again, I'm trying to learn my lesson here about picking underdogs to cover in these games unless there's just a really good reason to go with the favorite. And I don't see that reason in this particular case. Stanford did not look particularly good last week. You know, aside from the USC game, you know, they also started the season out with that very narrow escape against San Jose State at home. You know, and San Jose State has since proven that they're actually a completely legit team.
Right.
But I don't see Palo Alto as the sort of indomitable fortress where Arizona can't come in and have enough success to cover the spread here.
Yeah, this is a game where, or like you said, Jerry, any game, especially when we're getting into conference play, a double digit spread, unless you really feel good about the favorites, is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. I think we got, yeah, one more. Jerry, get you to lead on this one. Number 23, Washington, going to Altson. Number 2, Oregon. The Ducks are 24.5-point favorites, and Washington has had a little bit of extra time to prepare after that big win in Seattle over Stanford. So, Jerry, how do you see this one playing out, and what's your pick on 24.5?
Oh, man, I've been wrong about Oregon every single step of the way this season, so maybe I'm not the person to ask. But I've got Oregon covering. To me, this strikes me as a similar game to the Washington game, where they're just kind of going to put on the Jets in the second half the way they haven't against some of their sort of hapless non-conference opposition, the way they didn't at the very end of the Washington State game. It's a little bit of a toss-up, and we've been talking about how, in the case of a toss-up, you want to side with the underdog. But I just think Oregon at home, even as I'm saying this, I don't feel confident in it at all. But I think Washington's offense just doesn't have the firepower to stay within this spread. I think going on the road, the Huskies looked awful when they went down to LSU. And, you know, Austin's it's closer by, but it's not a whole lot easier to play than Death Valley is. So, you know, I don't really see an offense that struggled a pretty good bit with Stanford at times as well, scoring enough to keep pace with an Oregon team that you know is going to put up 45, 50, 55 points.
Yeah, I see this as Oregon might have just sort of like a FU drive that they can just sort of plug in and just all of a sudden activate all these fantastic machines and weapons. And when you saw the 49-0 victory over Arizona, that was sort of that FU drive, where Washington yeah. State, it might not have been activated. Tom, what's your read on this game?
Yeah, I'm going with Oregon to both cover and win straight up. It's just Oregon hasn't been as impressive when you're looking at the spread so far this year, but it's just at home against Washington. I'm just going with the Ducks. It's not something that I'm 100% convinced of, but it was kind of a coin flip decision. But 24.5-point spread is just so hard to really pick.
Yeah. Especially when we've seen so far this season. What's Oregon's against the spread record? Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, they're 1-4.
Yeah,
including 1-3 at home.
That's so tough to, and it's these backdoor covers after they already jump out by like 30 or 40 points, and then all of a sudden it's those late touchdowns where it comes back.
Yeah, Chip Kelly's putting in a lot of reserves in the third quarter this year, and it is killing people against the spread.
All right, let's go to Tom. Tell me about these echoes. Tell me about Miami. Coming to play number 9 Notre Dame at Soldier Field, the Irish 13.5-point spread, the way we picked it. How do you see this one playing out? You picked the Hurricanes to cover, but give me a sort of the way you're reading the game in general, and then also your spread thoughts.
You know, I think we're comparing Miami too much to their crowds for home games, and I think a lot of people are underestimating how good this team might actually be, because it's looked pretty good this year. It's not a great team, but it's definitely a team that could make some noise in the ACC if it catches a few breaks. And because of that, there's just no way I could trust Notre Dame's offense to cover a 2-touchdown spread right now. I have faith that the defense will be able to keep, you know, Miami's offense in check, and Miami's defense hasn't been very good, so I think that helps Notre Dame a bit, but still, 14 points or 13.5 is just a lot to cover for Everett Golson right now. And plus, you don't know what Brian Kelly's going to do at the quarterback. I mean, the first thing he said after the win over Michigan, after he pulled Golson for Reese, is that Golson's still our starter. But if Golson has one bad series or two bad series, is Reese coming in? And with that kind of unpredictability of what they're going to be doing at quarterback, I'm not picking them to cover a spread this large.
Yeah, the one thing about that Miami team, it is very talented. They are also very, very young. You look at the depth chart, there's a lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen, true sophomores, just sort of all over the roster, which they're very, very talented. It is Al Golden's strong recruiting is getting them there, but also could be prone to crumbling a little bit and making some mistakes on the road. Jerry, what's your read on this game?
I took Miami. I think Notre Dame secondary still hasn't really been tested. I think we thought that would happen with Denard and Devin Gardner and those guys. And it didn't really because Notre Dame's defensive line was just in his face all day. And because Denard is just not a good passer when he gets any kind of pressure against him. So I still feel like even this far into the season, we haven't seen what this injury-ravaged Notre Dame secondary is really going to do against a team like Miami that has the wideouts, that has the quarterback and Stephen Morris, who are playing at a very high level right now. You know, what they can do against a really committed passing attack like that. I've still got Notre Dame to win just because that defensive front seven with Manti Te'o and those guys is just playing out of their minds right now. I can't see Miami, you know, winning this game outright. It is a long trip. It's not in Notre Dame, but it's in Chicago. Miami's definitely going on the road here. But like Tom said, asking Notre Dame to cover a spread quite this big, I think is asking a little too much of them.
I agree with you both. It's a lot to ask of Notre Dame's offense, but I do not see any way that young offensive line is going to be able to hold their own against a very, very talented Notre Dame front seven. All right, let's go into the Big 12. We got number 17, Oklahoma, going to travel to Lubbock to play Texas Tech. Texas Tech is given 5.5 points as the underdog. And if our colleague Matt Hinton was correct, Oklahoma hasn't won in Lubbock since Adrian Peterson was a sophomore. Did I hear that correctly on College Football 360?
I believe that's correct. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Tom, go ahead and give me your read and pick on Oklahoma at Texas Tech.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Chip, but Oklahoma hasn't won in Lubbock since Adrian Peterson was their pseudonym. I have Oklahoma winning the game straight up, but I've got Texas Tech covering. I like getting 5.5 points for the home team, and plus Texas Tech is another one of those teams that's still undefeated against the spread this year, so it's still that changes. I'm just going to keep rolling with them. And it's hard to know for sure, though, because Texas Tech, while it's played well, and that Iowa State win was somewhat impressive, they haven't really faced a real test like they will this week with Oklahoma. But at the same time, Oklahoma hasn't looked nearly as strong as I thought they would this year either. Landry Jones is still being Landry Jones. At times he looks great, and at times he just, you don't know what he's doing. So because of that, taking the points with the home team, I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
Jerry, what you got?
This is one of those games I really struggled with because I think there's reasons to back both these teams here. Like Tom said, Texas Tech has looked great this season. A lot of people were making fun of the fact that they were number one in the nation in total defense after they opened up with, you know, their kind of cupcakes row there with New Mexico and Texas State and some FCS team I can't even remember off the top of my head. But, you know, to go up to Ames and just totally shut down that Iowa State offense, they allowed less than 200 total yards, that's impressive. Like, there's some good defensive work being done by Tommy Tuberville and his crew there right now. So there's that, and then there's the fact that Oklahoma just has not looked good at all this season, struggled with UTEP. You know, they had the FCS blowout, came back, and then lost to Kansas State at home. So, you know, my gut tells me Oklahoma's maybe a little overvalued and Texas Tech's a little undervalued. But at the same time, I think Oklahoma's just the more talented team. I think they're due for a really good performance. I think Texas Tech maybe is a little bit due to, you know, I wonder if they're going to come out a little overhyped because this is such a big game they've been waiting for, you know, basically all season. You know, it won't surprise me. I'll say this. It won't surprise me to see this game go either way. I've got Oklahoma. I think they're due to play a really good game after having the bye week and coming off the loss to Kansas State. I think we're going to see something like the old Oklahoma this week. But this is Texas Tech. They're a good team. It won't surprise me if they win either.
You would take Tommy Tuberville's back. That's so Jerry. That is so Jerry. No, I've got Oklahoma too, and for the same reasons that Jerry just mentioned. A bad loss to Kansas State next week. I don't know. I haven't seen, and like Tom said, Texas Tech hasn't really played anybody, but that 5-0 against the spread, it's hard to argue against. All right, going to the ACC, number 3, Florida State travels to Raleigh, my home, to face NC State. I will be there. The Wolfpack have plus 13.5 as the underdogs. Jerry, I'm going to get you to lead us off. What's your pick on this game, and how do you see it? Where's the best chance that NC State has to be able to cover this spread?
Well, it's hard to say because Florida State's defense is just so stout at every stage there. But I really think what NC State does well is keep that balance between Mike Glennon throwing the ball and Treacy and, you know, the pretty strong running game that they've got going. I really thought they were going to win last week against Miami. It didn't happen, obviously, although, you know, they took them to the wire. So, you know, you can't say NC State's defense is playing very well right now. David Amerson just looks lost out there, which is something I really did not expect to say at any point this season. The good news is I'm not sure that those deep bombs that have been burning Amerson, you know, from the likes of Tennessee and Miami, are going to be there, you know, from EJ Manuel. I don't know if that's really his game quite yet. You know, again, this is one that I'm not feeling real strongly about one way or the other, and when you're not feeling strong one way or the other, you're supposed to default this season to the underdog. So that's the way I'm going. I've got FSU winning the game straight up, but I've got NC State covering.
Tom?
You know, remember a few weeks ago I said Clemson was going to beat Florida State, and I took a ton of crap from Florida State fans about it. And in the end, I should have, because Florida State did beat Clemson, and they looked really impressive while doing it, and especially in the second half. And because of that, I think NC State's played well this year. I agree with Jerry. It's been a balanced offense. It's been a good offense. But it's just Florida State, to me, that defense is just so good. And I can't see NC State having the kind of game where it's going to be able to play a mistake-free game. I think that's what it'll take for NC State. It would take a mistake-free game to win this. And I just don't see that happening. And I see Florida State's defense creating a few turnovers. I do think EJ Manuel will be able to take care of David Amerson. I mean, I think we're learning this year that Amerson is a cover two corner and not really a man-to-man corner. And I think Florida State's going to be able to take advantage of that. And I see the Seminoles covering this spread and winning outright.
Yeah, one horrible, horrible recipe again when you're going up against Florida State's defense, particularly their front four, is the fact that NC State will be starting their fourth offensive line combination in six games. And Tom O'Brien said there's only one member of that offensive line that he feels like is in the position where he wishes he was. They're completely retooling everything in the middle of the season, which means I'm expecting some blown assignments and Mike Glennon to end up on his back at least three times. I've also got the Seminoles covering. Jerry, we got Georgia Tech going to Death Valley to face Clemson. The Tigers, we picked them as 10.5-point favorites. This is a rematch of a game that ended Clemson's miraculous undefeated streak. They were 8-0 when they went into Atlanta, and Georgia Tech knocked them off their horse and sort of led the Tigers into a little bit of a downward sort of fizzle out near the end of the season. How do you see this game playing out, especially as Clemson is still – they had the win over Boston College, gave up a lot of points, but they're still sort of putting the pieces back together after the Florida State loss.
Yeah, I took Clemson straight up because I think you have to the way Georgia Tech has played so far this year. But I've got Georgia Tech covering the spread for two reasons. One is their history against Clemson. Last year, the most glaring example. You know, they've always just played really well against Clemson, the same way Miami has always played well against Tech, which we saw a couple of weeks ago. So that's one thing. The other thing is, here, I'm going to drop a little bit of knowledge on you. After following double-digit spread outright wins, okay, if you took the winner of those upsets and bet against them the following week, and you bet you bet on the loser of that game the following, so basically you would bet on these teams to flip around the week after. For instance, like Central Michigan and Iowa, after Central Michigan got the big win, you would bet against Central Michigan and you would bet on Iowa. If you did that, you would be 13-5, like ATS, so far this season. So that's a pretty strong indication in Georgia Tech's direction, except that one of those five losses was Georgia Tech coming back from the Miami loss and losing to Middle Tennessee. So it's not foolproof, but it's enough of a trend that that's what I'm sticking with. I've got Georgia Tech to cover.
Yeah. Tom, what you got on that one?
Well,
as I get up from the info that Jerry just dropped on me, I think it's going to be 13-6 after this week, and I agree with the things Jerry was saying, but it's just at the same time I cannot take a team that just lost at home to Middle Tennessee and say that they're going to cover anything against Clemson, who I think is a top 15 team in the country. So I'm going with Clemson straight up and to cover that spread.
Yeah, and I know Sammy Watkins has been back on the practice field, but you know the way that Nuke Hopkins has been playing, you could even argue that maybe the offense is better with Watkins off the field. But anyway, that should be a good one. I see that one being really close, especially because of Georgia Tech's ability to just, you know, limit Taj Boyd's touches. The way if they're running the offense well and Clemson's defense is not able to force them to punt, then they're going to, you know, do typical Paul Johnson things, control the game, control the ball, time of possession, and maybe Boyd isn't able to get as many opportunities and he can't develop a rhythm. Tom, we're going to go to you next. Iowa State hitting the road to play TCU 12.5. Convince me about this one and sort of I can't figure out TCU because, first of all, I think they're overrated. Then I think they're underrated. Then I think they got a crappy defense. And then their defense, what, forces 3 or 4 turnovers 2 weeks ago? How do you see this one playing out? Horned Frogs as a 12.5-point favorite.
This wasn't an easy team to figure out. I kept coming up with reasons to pick Iowa State and TCU, but it's kind of like what you're saying. TCU has been somewhat of a roller coaster this year, where they're good one week and bad the next. And since they were bad last week, I decided in the end that means they're going to be good this week. that's literally was my thought process behind this one, because I was staring at all the stuff when we were filling these out yesterday. And I really had no inkling either way, and that's exactly what it came down to. I said, this is the week where TCU will be good, and then next week they'll suffer a little bit. So I'm taking them this week to cover the spread. I have no confidence in the pick, but it's the one I made.
Well, we have to pick every game, and so sometimes that's it. I flip a coin sometime. I'll admit it. Jerry, what do you have on this one?
I've actually got a pretty strong lean to Iowa State in this one. TCU has not been impressive this season. You know, struggled with SMU last week, and this is not a good SMU team. Got blown out by Texas A&M, got blown out by Baylor. You know, so to me, TCU in a revenge situation from losing to SMU last year, you know, to only win that game by 8 points, not impressive. Beating Kansas 20-6, not impressive. And even the cover they got against Virginia, that was at home, and they got a really late touchdown last couple of minutes to cover 27-7, and Virginia since has basically totally collapsed. That's just not a strong string of results in my book. The offense really looks like it's struggling, and now they're facing a team in Iowa State that's always played extremely well as an underdog under Paul Rhodes, whether at home or in Ames. You know, they've got a couple of upset victories already this season, the Cyclones do, so you know, those factors. And then you're looking at a spread that we're picking it here at 12.5. TCU just doesn't strike me as the sort of team right now that's going to be able to cover that number. I think they eke it out straight up, but I like Iowa State to cover fairly easily and may even win this game.
All right, now let's go ahead and wrap up the Big 12. Kansas, who TCU opened their Big 12 season against, traveling to Little Apple to face Kansas State. The Wildcats are 23.5-point favorites, and now, you know, arguably one of right there with West Virginia as far as in Texas, as far as the teams that are considered, you know, the Big 12 front runners. Tom, we're going to start with you. What's do you think that Charlie Weiss, your boy, has a chance to cover 23.5?
When I was first looking at this game, I was sitting there thinking, you know, rivalry game, 23.5 points is an awful lot of points to giving up in a game where it's, you know, it's a big rivalry in the state. It's the only rivalry in the state. But then I kept sitting there, I kept coming back to the fact that it's the Kansas Jayhawks. And Kansas State beat Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. Kansas State is looking very impressive this year, just as impressive as last year. And I did think they'd come back to earth a little bit, but they're not. They look really good. The Bill Snyder magic is still working. And Kansas was already bad, and now it's coached by Charlie Weiss, and I think that only makes them a little worse. So I'm going with Kansas State.
Jerry, what you got on that one?
I was the only one of our experts to ride with Weiss and the Jayhawks this week. I've got them covering the spread. It goes back to that thing I was talking about with the letdowns after a big upset win and sort of the surge back, after a big upset loss. Obviously, Kansas State winning and Oklahoma was a huge deal for them. They've already struggled a little bit at home as, you know, favorites. They let North Texas cover a couple of weeks ago. Kansas has actually been not bad as an underdog this year. They covered against TCU, covered against Northern Illinois. I think Kansas State knows that they can go out and win this game without really putting forth their best effort. I'm looking for a letdown from, Snyder's bunch this week, and I think the Jayhawks actually cover.
So this is a chance. You've got the Kansas pick. I'm trying to look the Texas pick. You've got a chance to really get a leg up on some of the competition.
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb, no question. It kind of comes back to that when in doubt, go with the underdog thing, which I'm not going with all that often. I took Oregon. But, we'll see. Hopefully it'll work out where the Jayhawks are concerned.
Mississippi State, Dan Mullen's team is sort of we'll start with this before we get into the Kentucky pick. Kentucky is given 10.5 points as the underdog at home against the Bulldogs. What's sort of your read on this Mississippi State team? Because they've been flying below the radar. Obviously, a lot of all of those teams right there in the top 10, 11 of most of the polls, a lot of people aren't talking about Mississippi State. Jerry, sort of where do you see this team, and are they overrated, underrated? A lot of people aren't talking about them, so why don't you give our listeners sort of a breakdown of what Mississippi State's got going?
Am I allowed to say that they are appropriately rated?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is accurately rated a word? One game.
Yeah.
Like, they played Auburn at home, won that game with surprising ease, but that's all they've done. Their other three opponents have been Jackson State, Troy, and South Alabama, and then they had a bye week last week. So, it's hard to get a really firm read on these guys. My instinct, is that this is one of the better defenses in the SEC, and that's saying something. Jonathan Banks is an All-American caliber corner. They've got lots of talent in the front seven. They've been well-coached. Looking at what they did to Auburn, and admittedly it's Auburn and their offense is not good this season, but that was just a complete and total shutdown. Getting into this Kentucky pick, Kentucky, we found out this week they've lost Max Smith possibly for the season. He has ligament damage in his ankle, and so they're going to trot out two true freshmen to sort of platoon at the job against Mississippi State. Again, the Bulldogs having one of the best defenses and certainly one of the elite secondaries, I think, in the entire country with Banks and Nico Whitley. I don't see any way Kentucky covers this spread. I think this is going to be a blowout. I think Mississippi State holds them to 10 points or fewer. I think they get 30 to 35 points on the board against a Kentucky defense that has lots and lots of problems. We don't play like locks of the week kind of thing, but if we were, I would be all over the Bulldogs on this one.
Your master lock? Have you seen the lock? What is it? McMurphy was doing that for a while. He said he was like, the lock of the week is master lock, undefeated.
Yeah, Schlaglock model XL304,
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Tom, what you got on that one?
I agree. Mississippi State, like Jerry was saying, really hasn't proven that much this year, but it doesn't really matter what Mississippi State's proven, because Kentucky has proved to us over and over again that it is a terrible football team. And their record in real life, their 1-4 record matches their 1-4 record against the spread. So even with Las Vegas giving them free points, they could still barely manage to win a game. So I'm going with Mississippi State as well.
Oh, man, you guys have a lot more logical explanations for your picks than I do for this one, because my Kentucky was my effort. They screwed me over last week. I thought I was going to get the Kentucky cover against South Carolina, and they almost had it, and then, of course, crumbled late. So I'm fully expecting them to do the same thing. All right, we got one more game, and it's really, you know, Tom, Jerry, this is the marquee game. You know, you can talk about your Georgia, South Carolina all you want, but everybody knows that in High Point Solutions Stadium, when the Scarlet Knights trot out in their black jerseys with the blackout, you know that the entire nation is going to be watching Connecticut and Rutgers in this big time noontime kickoff. So let's the Scarlet Knights into the top 25 at number 22. They Gary Nova and Juwan Jameson, you know, obviously have come on big for them. They had a week off. Savon Huggins will be back in the lineup. Michael Laro's off a 4-game suspension. Jerry, going to start with you. What'd you see in this game, and how'd you pick it?
I've got, you know, again, Rutgers, I think being at home will pull it out, but I like UConn a lot against the spread here, 9.5 points. UConn's defense has struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks, but they are still a very talented unit, very well coached by Don Brown, I think is their defensive coordinator's name. You know, started off the year completely throttling UMass, and then NC State held them to 10 points. So it's a really, really good defense. And Rutgers, I still think there's some offensive question marks there. You know, they started out the year scoring 24 points on an awful Tulane team. You know, followed that up by scoring 26 on FCS Howard, you know, before things kind of got rolling a little bit against UCF and the tire fire that is Arkansas. But I think UConn brings them back to earth a little bit, keeps this, you know, around a field goal or a touchdown, and the Huskies get the cover.
Tom, how are you seeing that one?
I think what Jerry's not considering is, like you said, Chip, all the Jersey stars come out for the Rutgers blackout. Gandolfini's going to be there. Springsteen's going to be there. Pauly D, the situation, Snooki. There's no way Rutgers lets down the Jersey faithful in front of those stars. I'm going with the Scarlet Knights to cover this one.
Yeah, I went with Connecticut, and a lot of it was, you know, Don Brown, he's been around for a long time, especially up in the Northeast, and a lot of the Big East coaches and the high school coaches around there will just rave about him and sort of what he's able to do when he's got good linebackers, and C.O. Moore is one of the best linebackers in the Big East. I see it really being a fight. Rutgers definitely wins. 9.5 just seems like a lot for a team that is riding pretty high. But, you know, I talked about this on College Football 360 today. Everything that the players have been saying is that they're pretty ticked off. I mean, Rutgers has never won a Big East title, and they were one game away from having at least a share of it last year before just, you know, who knew that they were going to be Scott McCummings, Johnny McEntee. I think Connecticut played 3 quarterbacks in that game, and that Rutgers defense gave up 40 points. It was pretty embarrassing for the Scarlet Knights. All right, let's get one person each. Your sort of big, doesn't have to necessarily be a game pick, can be, but just in general, your big bold flavored prediction. Start with you, Tom.
Oh man, my official upset pick of the week is Florida over LSU. But if you want me to give you another one, something that others might not be expecting. Going back to, you know, my homeland, known as the Big Ten, I'm actually looking at Purdue upsetting Michigan this week. Mm-hmm. I just have a feeling that the Boilermakers at home against a Michigan team that did have the week off, so it has the extra week to prepare, but really hasn't looked all that great this season on either side of the ball, is going to get upset by the Boilermakers in West Lafayette.
Bold. Bold. Jerry. Bold pick.
Can I just reemphasize again that West Virginia is not going to cover in Austin? we debated this earlier amongst ourselves, and I just feel really strongly about this. Man, I just feel like this West Virginia team is – I feel like I'm looking and seeing the emperor who has no clothes here. Like, they don't have a defense. They're, what, I think 1-3 against the spread so far. You know, didn't come close to covering against Maryland. You know, I just don't see that this is the sort of team that's going to go on the road and beat another, you know, top 10, top 15 team. You know, I would not bet my house on it, but I would bet the living room. Maybe the closet. Let's say the closet.
I would bet a couple of coats.
you want to bet my house?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom's betting my house. Jerry's betting his own closet, and we've got ourselves a game. Guys, thank you so much. This was the first Weekend Picks panel. We got to all gather around together, and I appreciate it. Very much enjoyed it. Remember that you can check out all of the picks at CBSSports.com. Go to Expert Picks. You'll see Jerry's picks, Tom's picks, and my own, as well as our record with Brian Fisher, Matt Hinton, Dennis Dodd, and Bruce Feldman also up there. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at IonCFB. Tom's at Tom Fornelli. Jerry is at Jerry Hinnon. And you can get all of the CBSSports.com college football podcasts on iTunes. We encourage you to go there, subscribe, review, rate, and all that good stuff. Hope these picks have been helpful. Best of luck with your selections over the weekend.